Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Mrs. Dionne Taylor. She has her Bachelor's of Art and Honors, postgraduate work for a Certificate of Education, a Master's of Education, and she's working on her Doctorate of Education. Her research is in language learning strategies of Chinese and Taiwanese students learning English in a Taiwanese college. And I just want to thank you for taking this time to talk to me. I so enjoyed my time last evening in your home with your boys. Just tell me a little bit about your family.
Okay, thank you for this opportunity. It was lovely to host you and Mike last night. So I've been married to Leslie for nearly 18 years. And we've been blessed with three boys. The girl didn't materialize, but I have lots of adopted daughters, as I call them. So Nathan is 16. He'll be 17 in a couple of weeks. He is, I think I would describe him as a gentle giant. He's very tall for his age, has a very gentle personality to go with it. And then we have Joshua, who is 14. He's the cheeky monkey of the three, I would call him. Confident and a bit of a joker. And then our youngest son is Isaac, who recently turned 12, otherwise known as the little Chinese man, as he spent quite a lot of his formative years here in Asia. And so I think I will be correct in saying that possibly his first language really is now Chinese. And he is a confident young man. He has to be because he has two older brothers. And so that completes our little family.
Yes, and he hasn't quite reached his growth spurt. Your other sons are pretty tall.
Yes, they're taller than me. Isaac is working his way along that journey.
Yes, he will be too. It was so delightful to talk to them and to realize that, you know, you've taken your family and they have embraced the journey. It's a global journey. It's not just about, you know, staying close to grandma and grandpa. It's been a number of years since they've seen their grandparents even. And I have to admire that. And I have to ask the question, when you first married, was this the map you set out for your family?
Not at all. Not at all. Leslie and I had always wanted to give the boys an opportunity to spend some of their formative years, their childhood years, outside of the UK. Both of our parents, Leslie's parents and mine, were not born and raised in the UK. They were born and raised in the Caribbean. Mm. And they experienced a lifestyle which in some ways is so different from the lifestyle that my boys were living and experiencing in the UK. And we wanted them to recognize that there are young people, particularly children like them, who are not living a similar life, whose lives were challenged in many areas that our boys had not experienced. We didn't want them to grow up spoilt. They were in a comfortable home. They had educated parents with good jobs. So we always had that as one of our goals. But if someone had told me, I think Leslie would be in agreement if I said told us that further down the line we would move lock, stock and barrel from the UK to Asia and particularly to China, we would have enjoyed a very good season of laughter. We just wouldn't have believed that. So So the idea of wanting the boys to have a different experience was there. It was a seed, but it never would have flourished in the planning stage if it was left to me and Leslie to follow the path that we believe God has opened and to bring us here to Asia.
So as you entered this Asia arena, what was the first thing that really kind of hit you between the eyes, you know, you had to adjust to?
When the decision was finally made that we would go, my primary fear really was not so much in the going, but what I was leaving or who I was leaving behind. Mm-hmm. And that, apart from my sisters and close cousins and relatives, was my mum. She had recently been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And the prospect of leaving her at this critical stage in her life and in this vulnerable state was mm-hmm. A big, big step for me to take. So leaving mum was the initial fear. Whatever confronted me in the future for me could not replace the big step of faith that I was taking, leaving my mum and taking away her only grandchildren so far away from her. When we arrived in China, I think the initial shock for us as a family was the attention that we received wherever we went. Mm. Our first posting was on a British university campus in China. And so we were amongst other expats from different corners of the globe. And so it was a little bit like a mini UK in terms of the different cultures and nationalities, because the UK is very multicultural in that respect. There are many different cultures that live in the UK. So that wasn't surprising. But as soon as we walked out of the university gates, we instantaneously became local celebrities. Mm. We were a family of five, which is unique in China, having three children. I was blessed in the eyes of the Chinese to have three sons. Mm-hmm. And in that respect, I was a very, very blessed and very, very rich woman. And we are a family of Afro-Caribbean descent. So we are black. And cars would stop, windows would wind down, they would stare at us in the streets, they would follow us around the supermarket, they would follow us in the train station, they would come and stand in front of us and just stare in awe. I had particularly women coming and touching my skin, elderly ladies touching my hair, a couple of elderly ladies taking Isaac, who at the time was five, by the hand and just wanting to take him away with them. You know, I had to say that one, I made that one. This one is not made in China. He's mine. So I quickly had to learn certain phrases in Chinese just to protect. And I say protect in inverted commas because we never, ever felt fear or felt threatened by the Chinese at all. We felt very, very safe. But the lack of interaction with Waiguaren, foreigners, and particularly black foreigners, was amazing. We weren't used to that because we could walk down any street at home and we were just another family. But in this environment where we stood out physically, and Leslie is tall, Nathan at that time was tall, Joshua was getting there, and Isaac was just a little boy. So it was the initial shock of people being so enamored and interested in us took a while, and the boys initially found that very difficult to deal with. Why are they staring at me? Why are they following me? So that, I think, was the key strange occurrence that we had to get used to, and get used to it very quickly because it happened everywhere.
I know that initially you homeschooled them for a few months, but you made the decision to put them into regular school, regular traditional school. How hard was that decision, or was it just a no-brainer?
It was a little bit of, it was twofold, I would say. One, we recognized that living on the British university campus, our children were not really being exposed to the Chinese language, Chinese culture, and we hadn't left the UK to integrate into a mini UK just in another country. We were very proactive in that regard. I'm the type of person that if I go to somebody else's country, particularly where they don't speak English, I will make concerted effort to at least learn some phrases so I can communicate and engage with the indigenous population using their own language. So for Leslie and I, we weren't content with the fact that our boys were in this microcosm of English. We could have stayed at home for that. So the only option we had, because financially to send them to an international school just was not possible. And retrospectively, I'm glad it wasn't possible, because again, they would have been in another English and speaking environment. So we made the decision to ask the university to find us a school who would accept foreign children, for one, because that was very difficult. After Leslie homeschooled the boys, because I went straight into work when we arrived as a tutor of Spanish at the university. So I went straight into work, leaving Leslie and the boys at home, and he homeschooled them. And then after a while, we thought, no. So we made the application, God opened the way, and a handful of the children from the university families were enrolled in the local primary school or the local elementary school. And that was a major, major challenge for the boys. They had come from the UK speaking only English, little smattering of French, and were thrown headlong into a completely Mandarin Chinese speaking environment with very few teachers who spoke or had any command of English, with students who had minimal English. Hello, hello, was about all they knew. And they had to, there's no special educational needs department in these schools. Yeah. So the boys were just thrown in. It was a challenge, particularly for Isaac. I think Joshua kind of retreated into himself. And when he felt he couldn't cope, he'd just kind of leave the classroom and find somewhere to hide on the school grounds. Nathan was very, very quiet. So he would just sit and maybe take out an English book and just read or draw. He enjoys drawing. But Isaac was 5, and for him, it was very difficult. Leslie had numerous phone calls throughout the day where the teachers would say, you know, he's crying, he's upset. And Isaac would come on the phone and beg Leslie to come and get him and take him home. And we had to do a lot of praying and trying to encourage them just to see it through. You know, each day it will get a little better. You'll pick up a few more phrases. And God sent a couple of Chinese parents who had a little command of English and paired up their children, particularly with Isaac. So he had a buddy that he could, in their own way, children do, I don't know how, irrespective of the difference in language, they communicated somehow. So he made friends with Daniel. And day by day, it was a praying process. Every day it was a challenge to get particularly Isaac to go into school. But with each day, we knew that it was developing an understanding and developing something within the boys that they had to realize that there are difficult situations that will come in their lives and they can't give up.
Yes.
They can't give up. But it was hard. As a parent, it was hard listening to your child crying down the phone. And, you know, it was harder for Leslie because he had to take the call because I was teaching. But bit by bit, little by little, and particularly for Isaac, being the youngest and his brain being like a sponge, the crying became less and less. And he started to pick up little bits of language, and bit by bit, he calmed down. But it was, in terms of their academic development, it was, I don't know if I should use the word stunted. It was stunted in a sense because they just couldn't access the curriculum because they didn't have the language. But then in other ways, their characters were being formed to recognize that in every situation, God is there.
Yes.
And in every situation, there is an answer.
Yes.
And with God and knowing there's an answer, you can deal with it.
Yes.
And bit by bit, they did. And they started to pick up the language.
I was so impressed with the spirit of your boys. And you know, most of the time we're talking to families who are able to homeschool their children. They don't want to send them into a difficult situation. You sent your boys very prayerfully into a difficult situation for them. So when you talked about their academic growth, maybe not being so much stunted as slower because they couldn't understand the Chinese, did that eventually, do you think now, because I know you're headed back to China, do you think now that they've caught up?
they have, you know, God has been so good. Each step of the way, I see God's hand. And, you know, as parents, you have desires for your children, and you want your children to succeed and be a blessing in all areas of their life. So when you see that your children cannot access a curriculum because of their lack of the linguistic ability, you start to worry. And we spent the first couple of years of our life really praying over our children. Because not only were we sending them to an environment where they didn't speak the language, but we were also sending them to an environment where they couldn't huddle together and pray. They couldn't talk about God. They were in an environment where everything is tightly monitored and controlled. And so we always pray over and with our boys before they step out of the house. We put them under God's care, under his anointing, under his protection. Bit by bit, I noticed they would come home from school and they would start, little bits of Chinese would come out, and Leslie and I would look at each other and they'd start communicating with each other in Chinese. And they particularly would communicate with each other in Chinese when they didn't want mum and dad to understand what they were saying. So they would have these little conversations in Chinese, and then it would end in laughter. And Leslie and I would be the butt of the joke because they'd look at us and they'd be laughing. And little by little, they started to pick up the language. Their confidence developed. Nathan in particular, God blessed him with a skill, not just to be able to speak it, but to be able to read it and to be able to write it. So as the months rolled on, Nathan became the translator of the family in terms of going shopping, reading the packages of the food, identifying which ones had pork, which ones didn't, how much salt was in this, whether this one contained MSG. He became the translator of the family. He would read the signs for the trains, the buses, read the bus timetables. Any documentation that came from the school, he would read and tell us what it was. So we would follow his lead. Mum, you need to sign here. Mum, it means this. Mum, I need 200 RMB. What for? Well, here it says. So Nathan developed this ability to be able to read and write Chinese. And I was in awe, and I recognized and I saw the hand of God on this child to be able to do that. Because it enabled us then to be able to communicate with, by that time we'd moved out. We moved out of the campus into the community. And it enabled us to form relationships with our neighbors, the security guard, the local shopkeepers. They began to know who we were. So it enabled us to be able to talk and to tell them our story, why we didn't eat pork, why we didn't celebrate Qingming, Festival of the Dead, sweeping the tombs, being able to do that in Chinese. I would speak to the boys in English. They would translate for us into Chinese. So that's enabled us to be able to make connections with who we now call our Chinese friends, our Chinese family over there. Little by little, and I know it's God, little by little, the boys began to learn Chinese to the extent now where our youngest son Isaac is fluent in Chinese and at times has problems with English. He can't remember the word in English. So now my focus is not so much on, you know, worrying about his inability to speak Chinese, but thinking, but this child really, he still is an English boy. He needs to have a command of his own language. But I look at Isaac in a way now where I would teach him English as I would do a Chinese child, because his Chinese now is so ingrained that he thinks in Chinese. His mannerisms are Chinese. Everything, that's why we call him the little Chinese boy. And when he goes out into a community and they see him, visibly, there is no question that this is not a Chinese boy. He's a little black boy. But people are shocked and amazed when he will talk to them, say hello, and they will, and they find it amusing that this little boy knows how to say hello. And then they will talk about him amongst themselves, not realizing that this child can speak Chinese. So after they've discussed him for about 5 minutes, he then respectfully joins in the conversation. And I've had to pick up many a Chinese person off the floor because it's such an amazing thing. So God has opened their understanding. He's developed their confidence that all three of them now feel comfortable in any Chinese speaking environment. They understand, they can participate. And that is a skill that I know God is going to continue to use as we make plans to return to China, because now the boys will be part of a school where I'll be the principal of this school, and it's, I have to be careful how I explain it because of where I'm going.
Yeah,
but the boys will be in our school, so they will be in a sense homeschooled, but we will be inviting in and bringing in Chinese children from all backgrounds, all socioeconomic, religious backgrounds into our school. And I know that ties will be formed, particularly through the boys and their ability to communicate in Chinese. And God will continue to use that and continue to help me to learn. Because I need to also.
So I know I touched briefly on your research. Have you done any research to see that there's a strategy that works better over another strategy? Or
I was first interested in this because of my experiences with Chinese students in mainland China. They appeared, and they were very reticent, not very proactive, very much groupthink. Whatever one said, the others would agree with. Not stepping over the boundaries of questioning or wanting to appear as if they were being disrespectful to the Laoshi, to the teacher. And I wanted them to engage more. So having spoken to them and their experiences in primary school leading up, there was a particular way in which they were educated. And so it wasn't allowing them, as far as I could see, to really expand their horizons and really learn and develop the skills for learning. Mm-hmm. They had a quest for knowledge, but it was very restricted and very limited. And then we had to leave China. So I had to then look at ways of being able to continue that, but in a different environment and with another cohort of students being Taiwanese. But they share historical and cultural roots. So in speaking and teaching them and in speaking to them, I noticed that because Taiwanese students have experienced a different educational path in terms of the openness of it and the liberality of being able to study more or less any subject, really, and the open nature of the internet, thus giving them greater access to a wide range of different platforms for learning. So they are more confident in the way that they approach learning and the way that they interact with me as the teacher.
Well, I've so appreciated our time together. We've run out of time. Thank you for sharing your family's life with us and your obvious passion for helping Taiwanese and Chinese students learn and just love learning. With that, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.